Hello, everyone, and welcome to Raise the Vibe. I'm your host, Liz Peterson. Today is the first show of the new year, 2020, and I'm mixing it up a little. Instead of me interviewing somebody, I have Ms. Arlie James in the studio with me today, and she's going to be interviewing me. I've got exciting news, everybody, to start Raise the Vibes year off. I'm hosting an expo in town on January 18th from noon to 5 at Vashon's United Methodist Church. All but two of my 2019 guests will be present, and they'll be giving talks throughout the day. So it's a great way to start off the new year, and I hope you can join us. Ara, thank you so much for doing this with me. I'm so excited to be talking about the expo, maybe a little bit about myself.
A little bit.
How I got started. But gosh, I was thinking of someone that I would want to interview me, and I thought of you. And you're my friend, one of my friends here on Vashon. And the first time I saw you, I was looking across the room like, God, I know her. Where did I meet her before? You know, I'm trying to place you in my mind, you know, how you go through the face and the different places in town. And I couldn't place you, but I knew that I knew there was this instant connection. So I go up and I ask you, I'm like, hey, how's it going? You know, and you kind of felt the same way.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, there at the Coop. I've known you before.
Yeah.
At the Coop.
Yes.
That's right.
That's so right. Much fun. So you were the first person I thought of, you know, to be here today discussing the expo, which I'm super excited about bringing to people here on Vashon. And I hope we get a good turnout. Sold some tickets.
That's
Gotta
awesome.
Thank those early birds for buying their tickets already.
Yep.
So, and hopefully everybody will get out there and purchase their tickets and come join us on January 18th. For the show. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
So thanks for doing this with me, Ara.
Thank you. So I get to interview you today.
Yes.
Aha.
Woo.
Oh, man, I have a list of the most personal questions you've ever
Oh,
heard.
Boy.
No, no.
Okay. I'm in the hot seat. It's a little bit uncomfortable for me. Usually I can sit back and ask the questions, just listen for an hour. So this is going to be really new for me.
Well, I'm excited to hear all the things you have to say. I wanted to say in response to that, you were one of my very first friends on the island. I think you... I met Doug Pine. Doug Pine was my first friend. I always credit Doug as being my first friend on the island.
First island connection.
First island friend was Mr. Pine. And then you became one of my first dear friends, close friends, female friends on the island. I think it's interesting that I'm interviewing you today. You came to me for a voice lesson. That's how we got to know each other in the very beginning.
Yep.
You wanted to learn how to open up your throat chakra and sing and find your voice. And I think it's appropriate that now I am interviewing you so that you can have your voice on the radio.
And it's way, way, way more than a voice lesson.
It's way more than a voice lesson, right? Finding your voice. Yeah. So tell me about how this show came to be and how you decided to have some of your voice come through work like this.
Wow. Okay. So I have been listening to things online for several years now, and you know, Conscious Conversations and Beyond the Ordinary are a couple favorites of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And what the people brought through to me, resonated with me. And I wanted to be able to bring that to people. I'm like, gosh, you know, that would be a super fun thing to do. So I'm laying in the bath one day, you know, I do my best meditating in the bathtub, my Epsom salt baths, I live in them. And almost 3 years ago, be like in the spring.
That's about when we met.
Yeah.
Too long. Yeah, that's right.
And all of a sudden I start thinking about the show and I'm visualizing myself doing something like that. And how would I do that? And then the name Raise the Vibe pops in my head. So I jump out of the bathtub and I write it down in my journal. And I start thinking about that. I'm like, God, you know how fun. Raise the Vibe, you know, sort of like radio-esque. And then I start thinking, you know, there's Voice of Vashon. You know, how could I bring it to people? Do I go online?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, so I start ruminating about this, you know, and kind of focusing on it in the bathtub. And I start writing down some ideas on my notepad. And it took me a little while to come around to actually manifesting it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually in the restaurant one day and Ainsley McLeod comes in. He's a friend of mine. And we start chatting and I'm like, I have this idea. I need to do it. And he goes, yep. You know, if we got into a conversation about if you don't do it, somebody else is going to do it because everybody's getting these ideas. And it's who manifests it first, right? So on the drive home.
This idea of collective consciousness.
Yes.
Like, yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm on the way home. I'm like, how do I do this? You know, what's my platform? So I know Melody Woods, and mm-hmm. you know, she's part of Voice of Vashon, mm-hmm. so, and a friend of mine. So I give her a call and we sit down and have a little talk about how I, you know, present this, you know, what I do, a proposal. So I drew up a proposal and I presented it to the radio station. And my angel ended up being Susan McKay, who is also awesome and has, you know, worked with me. Mm-hmm. And here I am.
Wow. That makes me think about all of the amazing women there are on this island. You started naming names. And all
yes.
I could think of was like name after name after name after name. And there are a lot of amazing men on this island, too, I will say. And for the purposes of this question,
and
I would like to say.
Men.
Very conscious men. And there are just, it seems like an extraordinary amount of, can I say badass on Vashon?
Yes.
Can you
yeah,
bleep it out later?
Can,
just
yeah.
badass women, one after the
yes.
other, that each bring something really special. Who are some of the women on this island that have affected your life?
Oh my gosh, so many.
So
you,
many, right?
For
yeah.
one, Amanda Kelly is a powerhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Diane Krause. I can go through my whole friend list. Megan at Snapdragon.
Mm-hmm.
So many strong, powerful women that I look up to. Melody, again. They're just, all of these women on Vashon are holding their own.
Mm-hmm.
They're standing strong. They're breaking through the glass ceiling. They're being an example for the other women on the island
mm-hmm.
to be able to step forward and live their dreams and purpose and be brave and go out there and do what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So cheers to all of the powerful ladies on Vashon.
Yeah.
So there are so many.
So
I know
many.
I missed 100.
I know, right? You can't start
you
naming. You're like,
are.
Oh, no. I know. I know Amanda did that yoga class the other day for some friends, and I looked around that room and was just blown away by each person there and what they bring. It's a really special place.
Yeah.
And speaking
powerful
of Vashon,
it's
really fascinating to me. I'm very new to this island. I still feel so new, even though it's just been a couple of years. I feel brand new, really.
And, mm-hmm.
I'm so fascinated to hear people's Vashon stories. How they, you know, it's like... You know, how did you end up here? What brought you here? It's usually a twofold story. What brought you to Vashon?
Yeah.
And then people are like, you know, this is why I thought I was coming to Vashon, or this is what the plan was. And then this is actually what went down when I got here.
Woo.
Like it
yeah.
tends to have like,
there's a lot of,
I
that.
Know I call it the Vashes, right? Like you don't realize all the things you're about to learn. And, so
yes,
I'm interested
learning
about
learning and growth. It's like
yes.
a pressure cooker here on Vashon, and you can't not. You can't
yeah.
get away with anything emotionally here.
I know. It's like what Jenny Bell says, you know, no one washes up. No one washes up on Vashon without something to learn, you know,
yes.
her accent. Like nobody comes here without something. So what is
mm-hmm.
your, what's the story? Why did you think you were coming here? Like what were the
wow.
circumstances that brought you here? And then what has Vashon taught you?
Okay. Where to start? As everyone knows, I was previously married.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in a relationship and, my ex-husband used to be a drummer. So our first time to the island, we show up for the Strawberry Festival and he plays in a band. I'm walking around like, wow, Vashon is so awesome. I could totally live here.
Yeah.
You know, this community just is fabulous. And a year or so goes by and a friend of his who he used to work with at Seattle City Light gives him a call and says there's this position open on Vashon to be a serviceman for PSE. Mm. And he goes, what do you think? I'm going to do it. I'm going to apply. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. You know, I've got my roots in Paulsbow. We've been living there for 13 years. My kids are going to this awesome school, multi-age program. And like, I'm in it to win it in that community. Best friend next door. We both have a bunch of kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're doing it. I have my connections. I'm rooted. And so he applies and he goes through the process. And of course, he gets a job,
mm-hmm.
you know. And he's like, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to try it. I'm like, okay, you know, we're going to do this. All right. And so he goes and he's trying. He loves it. And it's like early retirement. And he had been gone for so much all the time working at Seattle City Light, doing the Bainbridge commute and getting home at 6 o'clock. Sometimes not getting home at all because he'd get called, you know, for outages
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. Overtime was always there at Seattle City Light. So a great opportunity for our family. So we move over. I'm in tears, you know, packing up the house, driving away. I'm in tears. I'm like, okay, I'm doing this. I'm leaving it all behind.
Don't tune out.
Don't
it's going to
really
get better.
I really want to do this.
I know.
And
yeah.
So we move over to the west side, this beautiful house. It's funny. I dreamt about the house before we even moved here.
Mm.
But I couldn't figure it out. I would wake up, you know, that half sleep, you know, in my house in Paulsbow and go, oh, gosh, it kind of looks like here, but it's not here. And what's going on? I was totally out of it and kind of discombobulated when I'm first waking up and stuff. And we get in the house and I wake up that first morning and realize, oh my God, I have been dreaming about this house. Hmm. You know, it's, this is part of my path, you know, to be here. I don't know why, you know, but it is. So I try to embrace it. And, gosh, getting into the community, I remember being kind of hard, and this is one of the reasons why I did this show, looking for things for my kids to do was mm-hmm. really, and I started asking people, where do I find what's going on the island? Who do I look to? Is there a board somewhere? Mm-hmm. Is there a Facebook page? You know, something like that. So I'm starting to get in the community, starting to meet, you know, moms, you know, because I'm not working, you know, I'm a stay-at-home mom. And I volunteered at the school, always volunteered for years. And so I met people that way. And then Wes, my ex-husband, started playing music on island. So we started meeting people through the music scene and that sort of thing. And I love everybody in the music scene. They're all beautiful people. So many artists on the island. It always blows my mind. So many talented people. And so we end up like not even a year into it. It was August, the first day of school, you know, the second year. Gosh, not even that. So we moved November 2010. And what I'm trying to say is we had a fire August 31st. It was the first day of school in 2011. So that completely like blew us away.
A physical fire.
Yes, but it showed us this important thing about Vashon is that people, whether they know you or not, rally around you and support you and lift you up and make sure that you're okay. Mm-hmm. And I learned so much, not only about surviving a tragedy like that, but about the island that I moved to and how everybody is just there for you, you know, no matter what, which was a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. And then let's see, skip to Malou, you know, down the years right. and everybody's doing great and really getting community and stuff. 2015, I start working at the hardware store restaurant, which I totally love and adore. And it has really given me an in my community. Mm-hmm. And that's when I really started feeling like this was truly my community, was that, you know, after starting November 2015, Melinda was awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody who worked there was awesome, became, you know, work family. For sure. Very supportive. I started meeting so many beautiful island residents, you know, through the hardware store. So that was really an in for me on island. And I love getting to know everybody and still waiting. I still work there 3 days a week in addition to my healing practice, mm-hmm. which I also, you know, take clients at my house and my office. Couple years later, you know, had a turn of events as far as my family goes and ended up separating, you know, from my then husband mm-hmm. and going through sort of a dark night of the soul. I feel like my whole entire self, you know, fell away. Mm-hmm. And I felt so blessed to have not only my work family, but my friend family and my support team that I had created here on Vashon to help me walk through that difficult time in my life. And that pressure cooker that is Vashon, you can't walk away from your lessons. There are so many lessons here and they're always in your face and you're, it's like, okay, I can't get away from this. You can go off island for the day, okay, and get away with it. But we all know we take our stuff with us. Even if we're like going away for the weekend or something like that, we take our stuff with us.
Yeah, you can't get away from anything here. You can't be an asshole because you'll be behind someone in Thriftway.
Yes.
You cannot run away from
you
yourself.
You will see them five more times during the week if you are out of your
you
higher
cannot
self.
Be an asshole on Vashon. No, I mean, you can, but you have to deal with yourself.
Yeah. So I love Vashon. I think that I was meant to be here. I think that I was meant to be at the hardware store and meant to meet all you beautiful ladies in my life and the men, you know, who are my friends on Vashon and be doing this.
So let's talk about
this. It
has
opened up a whole new life for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I am not the person that I used to be at all. And I love being able to bring all of these beautiful Vashon people to everybody through Voice of Vashon here on the radio.
Yeah. When you were talking about Vashon sort of what Vashon does, the word I was thinking was transformation. It seems like whatever yes. you come here with, even if your life doesn't physically or metaphorically burn to the ground, there is an unequivocal transformation, I think, that happens to people living in this place, in this beautiful place, in this place of nature, in this place of community, in this place that you can't run. I think it's really ripe for transformation living
Definitely.
Here.
And it's not a slow transformation. It is. Hey, you're on fire. You're on Vashon. And it doesn't stop. It's not a gradual, okay, we're going to give you this and you're going to work on this for a while and discover it. You know, it's no, we're going to give you this and you're going to go full steam ahead into this. And then we're going to give you something else. And something else, and something else.
Or at least that's been your experience.
Yes,
and
that's
mine
been
too,
my experience. Yeah, for sure.
So then, with all that you went through, the sort of, I love how you put that, the dark night of the soul and your own lessons and your own fight. We met when we were both going through a really similar time.
Yeah.
And really just choosing life, right? Day after day after
day. Yes, day after day.
And then you have this idea for the show in the middle of that dark time, right?
Yes.
And so now you're creating this platform for interviewing people and talking to people about transformation, about raising their vibration, about the light, about opening. And tell me about how you had this idea in the bathtub. How did it go from the idea and you sort of got the nuts and bolts down, but then why this platform and why raise the vibe? Why vibration? Why woo-woo? Why, you know,
oh my gosh.
Because I will say, you know, when you say raise the vibe or you use words like, you know, I'll devil's advocate for a minute, manifestation, transformation, vibration, I wrote down some synchronicity, energy flow. Like these are words that we can use in regular conversation because we sort of, you know, we're, I would say WWAF.
Yes,
I won't say
I
what that is on the radio, but
woo-woo AF,
right? However, it can
Since
sometimes
my early 20s.
Right. So it can sometimes get a bad rap. And
yes.
I have a friend who has a song, Barbara Ford, called Don't Shoo Shoo on My Woo Woo.
Oh, I like
I know
that.
Often. But, you know, hilarious. Like we all sort of find our own spiritual path. So I guess to take a step back, how did what's your spiritual path and how did you become WWWAF?
Oh, my gosh. Well, first, can I answer the first question about, you know, how we got here?
Yes, let's do that.
So
one.
I say, OK, I'm going to do this.
Right.
And that was in 2017. And it's mulling and I'm discussing it with just a few close friends because I don't want the word to get out there, you know, that I might be doing this. So I did. I worked with Melody and then I presented it and I worked with Susan and she showed me how to do it. And I guess, God, it took me several months to get my butt in there to do it at the end of 2017. And
I remember you talking about it. I was holding the secret when I went
with like 29 of my you know, closest friends to Mexico in January. I'm like, I've got this thing, but I can't tell anybody. And I did tell Aimee Cartier, who was my, I think, third interview on the show. I'm like, I've got this thing, but I can't tell you what it is right now, but I'm super excited. And it's funny, since I got the idea, several, like I hear raise the vibration, like all the time, raising the vibe, you know, it's everywhere. And Susan Lynch, you know, uses it, you know, for her thing. And Aimee Cartier's father-in-law uses it, and he was on my show talking about frequency. And so I got started in April of 2018, and my first guest was Susan Lynch, and what, you know, the perfect person to start off the show, my sister in Raising the Vibe, you know, shaman. And when we get together, we're just like pinging off of each other, you know, our intuition is just on fire and we're just feeding off of each other and just discussing all of this lovely woo-woo stuff. But to answer your second question, my woo-woo in my early 20s.
What's your woo-woo?
My woo-woo. So very sensitive child, open child. My first experience with my gifts, my sister and I were sleeping upstairs. And it was this long attic room that my dad had transformed into a bedroom, window at the end. And we had two twin beds, one on either side. And I wake up one night, she's 9 years older than me. My older sister is 9 years older, my younger sister, 6 years younger. And I have my a huge, crazy family tree of other siblings. And but so my older sister and I, you know, wake up like we do in the middle of the night. And I go to wake her up and The moonlight is shining in the window, and there's this beautiful, transparent white woman, you know, sitting on her pillow, you know, next to her head or a pillow area, you know, with her hands folded in her lap, all demure and everything, just gazing out the window. And she turns to me and goes, shh, with her finger up to her mouth. And I'm like, you know, freaking out, 6-year-old or whatever I was, right? Head under the covers, not going to wake up my sister, go down and use the bathroom, go back to sleep, right? And telling everybody. And I don't remember the responses now. And, you know, a couple other occurrences in my haunted house as I was growing up, one not so nice, about 5 years later, you know, downstairs in my bedroom. And I wake up again in the middle of the night, as I did always. And instead of a white apparition or a person in the room, it was a dark shadow in my room. This one was not so friendly and raised its hands above its head and came down on my solar plexus and, you know, totally like physical reaction and everything. And that one, that's when I turned my sight off. But I was still sensitive, so I could feel things, you know, sense things from other people, know when things weren't right in a room, know if somebody was in a bad mood, how to prepare for it. I was, gosh, very, I think it like really made me shy. I was very like the observer, and I use objective observer in my practice a lot for people because I'm very in touch with that observant part of myself is really how I grew up. You know, like you're going through school and you go in scary high school and you're a freshman and you think everybody's, you know, emotions and stuff are towards you because they're looking at you and, you know, you don't want to trigger anybody and, oh, what did I do? And, you know, stuff like that. And, yeah. And then going into my 20s, you know, I had the privilege of living in this huge, beautiful farmhouse in Virginia for a couple years with friends after I got into a car accident in San Diego, which totally changed my life. I went from fashion designer, you know, to, oh, don't want to do that anymore. What am I going to do now? You know, having a concussion and being out for a couple days, it totally transformed my life. Moved back home, ended up in Virginia for a couple years. And that's when I really restarted getting into it again.
So when you say into it, explain what that
so
means.
So into my intuition and my gifts and who I was as a person aside, you know, I wasn't this person who wanted to go out there and jet set and design clothes and do all this other, you know, stuff. There was it, that car accident really put me, you know, back onto my path again because I had been closed for so long. Even like going back to the premonition dreams after that car accident, you know, calling up a friend and going, hey, you know, I saw this, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, how did you know? And, you know, kind of like, wow, you know, I've got this thing, you know, back in my life again. And just kind of playing with it with my friends, discussing it with my friends, not really doing anything about it. And then a friend of mine one day goes, gosh, you know, you're really strong. You know, he had a shoulder ache. I was giving him a massage. You should be a massage therapist. You know, I'd been searching. I went back to waitressing again after, you know, getting into the car accident and moving home from California. So I go to massage school. And it was one thing after another. Suggestion, hey, I could totally do that. You know, I look into it. I ended up at Baltimore School of Massage doing massage therapy. And I had a wonderful teacher, Bhagwant Kaur Khalsa, you know, there. And she was also in doing shamanism. She taught shamanism classes. She was also a polarity therapist. And I was very curious about these other things and would ask her questions. And she didn't teach the polarity therapy or the shamanism at Baltimore School of Massage. That was kind of a side thing. And I went to one of her pre-classes, you know, to kind of get a little taste, a little taster of polarity therapy. And I went and I was blown away. She really introduced me to energy work. The energy I had within me, what it was, where it came from, how to use it, that it existed. And I chose to not finish, you know, the advanced part of massage training in Baltimore, but to do the polarity therapy and, of course, the shamanism. So I really, in my early 20s, I was 22, 23 when I was doing this. And, you know, kind of I was really learning about myself and my gifts and, you know, who I was more than this person floundering, trying to figure out what I wanted to do. A kind of, oh, here's my passion. Here's my purpose. You know, I could really help people with this, you know, and that's really where my woo-woo, my re-entry into woo-woo-ness, you know, really began.
Mm-hmm. What is your purpose, Liz?
My purpose, to help people. Mm-hmm. I really like being able, in my personal business at home at Liz's Healing Touch, to be able to have somebody in my office and, you know, sit down and discuss what's bothering them and go through their belief systems and their childhood wounds, you know, that I learned in a 4-year program I did in my early 30s, and help them to overcome personal struggle, because it's so difficult in the world these days.
Yeah. So tell me what, so with your business, what you do at home,
mm-hmm.
Liz's Healing Touch, that's the name of
yes,
the work that
Liz's
you do.
Healing Touch. Liz's Healing Touch. I've been doing it on and off since my early 30s.
So talk me through what a session looks like with you, and maybe talk a little bit about that 4-year program you did and how your work and your empathy and intuition is manifesting today in the work that you're doing with people.
Okay. I studied after massage school and going through the polarity therapy program, getting certified there, learning shamanism and starting to practice that. I moved out to Washington State, started waitressing again, met my ex, got married, and 3 months later started having panic attacks. Okay, this is going somewhere, so bear with me.
Yeah.
So, I'm searching, you know, what is the cause of these panic attacks? What do I have going on inside of me that may be causing these panic mm-hmm. attacks? So we end up at this psychic fair. You know, we have some time to kill at the Edmunds Ferry, 2 boat wait. Woo! And so I'm like, hey, there's a psychic fair going over there. Let's go check it out. We have plenty of time. So I go in there, and I don't know anybody in there. She goes, oh, well, this person over here has somebody, you know, has some time. I'm like, sure. So I go over and I tell her what's going on, you know, starting having these panic attacks. Other things are opening up within me when I come out of a movie. I can't even drive. You know, my vision is all, I'm disoriented and stuff like that. And she goes, oh, sounds like you're having a spiritual awakening. She mumbles under her breath. And I go, hmm? And she goes, I have the perfect person for you. So she gives me the name of the woman who owns Northwest School of Healing. And she had gone, she's a psychotherapist. She's not practicing anymore. She's retired and closed the school. She's in her 80s. Had gone to Barbara Brennan School of Healing in New York. Mm-hmm. And she was the only one to be allowed to teach at that time. So Barbara Brennan gave her the okay. She comes back to Washington and opens up the school. And it's Barbara Brennan's work. It's Reiki. It's Stuart Black's work, which is childhood wounding and how to trigger the body to release, you know, those wounds and have awareness. It's really about, you know, that healing work that I learned. Awareness, intention, you know, just constantly like working with it. You know, how to work with it. So my practice is about that. I do Barbara Brennan's work for people who aren't aware of what Barbara Brennan does. She's very clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient, all of it. She sees auras. She sees the chakras. She sees what's going on in the body. She's medical intuitive. So that training with my teacher in my early 30s was really opening up those gifts more and learning how to work with people in a session to be able to have awareness about these wounds, have awareness of how they're playing out in our lives today through our patterns. Negative belief systems are part of it, and the work. So getting the person on the massage table and giving them what is called a chelation, which is, I kind of jokingly say it is acupuncture without the needles, because I'm going through the meridian system,
mm-hmm.
you know, with Barbara Brennan's work and with the polarity therapy. So I've kind of taken everything that I've learned and created my own modality out of it that I work with people on the table mm-hmm. and do. So it's not only Reiki, you know, it's way more than that.
Can you think of a session that you've done, obviously without talking about a specific person, where something unlocked or was opened or surprised you? Like as a healer, as someone holding that space, can you think of
someone's coming to mind? I'm not going to use an on-island person. I'm going to use an off-island person. This person's been seeing me for a couple years now, once a month for a couple years. Beautiful transformation. Gosh, I don't want to give away too much information. And this person just came in with knee injury, knee surgery, and that sort of thing. So we really got into what does the knee mean, you know, emotionally, you know, when that is triggered in the body.
What does the knee mean?
Stability in the body. And
my knees have been hurting. Oh, crap. Great, Liz. Yeah, this is great. My knees have been hurting this week. Okay, great. Okay, I'm listening.
And where are we not stable in the world or in our lives? And then we go back even further. So little by little, we're getting into childhood occurrences and something he contracted as a child that he's had to deal with his entire life and how his hospital stay affected him and his relationship with people and relationship with parents. And how those relationships transferred into his adult relationships and really breaking down those wounds, breaking down those belief systems and really becoming vulnerable and stepping into unknown territory, being able to have connections more fully with his family, being able to hug people like he couldn't hug people before, being open-hearted, tearing down those heart walls that we put on that we think are protecting ourselves, but are really holding us back from being vulnerable with others and having connection with our friends and our family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I see beautiful transformations happen.
I see you getting emotional just talking,
it's a beautiful transformation. Yeah. And I'm so blessed because not only am I helping my clients, but they're also walking me, you know, through my things. You know, we meet, you know, those places that we have in ourselves when we meet someone that we're spending time with and we're helping them on their journey. You know, there's always resonance, you know, with everyone.
Yes, there's always resonance.
Yes.
So what do you do when you're in a healer, you're doing your healing work and you're affected by someone's energy? In both a positive or a negative way, let's say. So you're in a room and there are things that you're moving through, right? So can you tell me a little bit about your process of ritual?
Yes.
I have never known you to not have some thing in your pocket that you are waving around, spraying around, doing around a room. We walked in, you were like, I got the sage, I got the smudge, I got this. But like, you're spraying, you're doing the thing. I walk in your bathroom, it's covered in crystals. You've got, so talk to me about some of your favorite energetic work that you do in space, even before we talk about what you do with your own physical body. But talk about space, because I find that you're very active in working with space in a way that people don't even see. And I think about you, you're like, almost like this is going to sound strange, like Puck in A Midsummer Night's Dream, like a woodland creature. It's like you're running around in spaces where people don't see what you're doing and you're doing these things and people have no idea. And I think obviously your close friends know, but I watch the way you quietly work in space without ever telling people that you're doing it. So maybe I could out you a little bit on the radio and people can know the stuff you're doing all around town as Liz is moving through space. even waiting tables, you've talked to me about ways that you work with space. So talk a little bit about that.
Ways that I work with space. Gosh, there's the basics. There's
what are the basics for someone who really has no idea?
Okay, the basics for clearing space, I use sage, Palo Santo, holy water. And I go around like to clear my house of negative energy, which I am on all the time, especially over the last couple of years.
And you have
And I have children still at home. So I now have four boys. And I have three still at home, my 20-year-old, 16-year-old, and my now 13-year-old, my house full of teenagers now. And
I imagine they're not walking around with amethysts.
Oh my gosh. And they're so funny. They're so anti, especially my 20-year-old. Do not burn the sage. I hate that smell. He's running into his bedroom. It's so funny. can't clear the 20-year-old. He's not going to let me. Uh-huh. But hopefully, you know, here's a child who used to see spirit when he was younger and is totally against it now. But, you know, I giggle and know that he'll probably step into it again in his 20s. But so I'm clearing space. I'm not only do I use the sage and the Palo Santo, and I go around and, you know, say only positive energy and spirit, you know, mm-hmm. shall be all negative energy, you know, out of my space. Mm-hmm. But I also set intention. My life is a lot about intention, setting intention for my space. Mm-hmm. What do I want my space to look like? I think that the sage does its thing. And now, you know, science has proven, you know, it gets rid of 98% of germs in the air, which I think is fantastic. But there's intention behind it. And when you're practicing and you're doing that type of ritual, mm-hmm. you are setting an intention, you know, that negativity will not be in your space, that it will be cleared, that only positive energy and positive spirit are allowed to be in that space. You can come into a room. I feel like I can say I am connected to the other side. And I've been working on that for a long time. And I work with my guides and my angels and my ancestors. And I not only pull them into my practice, you know, to assist me and work through me, but I also pull them into my daily life. You know, if an energy in a room is not feeling well, I will send an intention, you know, that that be cleared, or that Archangel Michael come in and clear the space and fill it with light, or that if something's going on, that I be shielded, that only positive things can get to me, that the negative things stay out. If I have an appointment and it's going to be difficult, I send angels and guides ahead of me to clear the space, prepare it for my safety, and that the highest and best for all, you know, come out of whatever needs to happen in that space. I did it today.
And I was going to say, and I want to say that you do it for your friends as well.
I do.
I remember going through some difficult appointments.
Mm-hmm.
And you did the same
as
for me.
I.
Yes. Many, and you know, we all do. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about that class we took with Amanda the other day. And one of the things she said when we were in the room, we were doing some work, and it's certainly very feminine. They're all women, but she said, everybody bleeds.
Yes.
Everybody bleeds. And that has stuck with me this yep. week so much. Everybody bleeds.
Everybody.
Not just women.
Yes.
Every month, but
that
everybody bleeds,
bleed.
Right? We all bleed, and we bleed into the world around us and our friends and
yeah.
to strangers, and we carry these things, and we all mix together, right? So
mm-hmm.
when you're in a space and you walk in with someone, you know, we're all sort of, I think, bleeding at a different rate on different days.
Yeah.
And some days, you know, the wound is sort of...
And how are we going to do that with each
right,
other?
Right, so how do we do that?
Are we going to do that, you know, in a responsive way or a reactive way?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a lot of my work too, you know, mm-hmm. with...
And what's the difference between responding and reacting?
Well, reaction is you get triggered. A wound deep down inside of you gets triggered. Triggered means you get irritated, angry, frustrated. Mm. And you might not even know that it's attached to this occurrence in your childhood or this belief system or something that happened to you. But you're like, you're ready to go. You're ready to pounce. It's fight or flight.
Yep.
You know, and you're there. So it's taking that deep breath. It's taking the pause, and it's being that objective observer and really formulating a response instead of leading with your reaction.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that you keep using this word objective observer.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk a little bit about a word that has been very prevalent in my life, primarily because of you. And that is the word empath, and,
mm-hmm.
Talk about a little bit what it is like for you, Liz, being an empath, what it's like to be an intuitive person and to embrace being an introvert, perhaps
mm-hmm.
talk
yeah.
about the word introvert and empath. And I'll tell my story briefly. When I first met you or mm-hmm. connected with you and was like, how do I know you? We were at the Coop.
Yep.
And I was there with a very dear friend of mine. And we walked in, and she was immediately overwhelmed by all the people there and wanted to run out like a jackrabbit. And she was standing in the corner ready to leave. And you walked by without knowing her and said, oh, an empath in a crowded room. this must be challenging for her. And she left and ended up, I think, walking all the way home. I don't remember what she did that night. She was like ready to go because it was too much for her. And often felt at that time like something was wrong with her, that she couldn't be in those spaces. Yeah, and you had thrown that word out, right? Yeah. Like, oh, she's, and you saw her across the room. Oh, there's an empath in a crowded room. Hell, she's not going to make it. So later we were talking and I said, oh, Liz made this comment about you being an empath. And then she went and checked out a book from the library, got a book about being an empath and started reading these books about being an empath. Yay. And it changed her life. And she was like, oh, I'm an empath. There's not anything wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with being an introvert. There's nothing, not only is there nothing wrong with being an empath, or certainly nothing wrong with being an introvert in a very extrovert, a society that rewards extroverts, an extroverted society, but that there is a deep sort of strength in it. So maybe you can talk a little bit about those words, introvert and empath, and what that means.
Empath is a person who can sense their surroundings. They know when someone's upset. They know when a room isn't feeling well. They're on sensory overload. Clothing might be too much, like that tag in your shirt just might annoy you and you need to get it out. So you're really hypersensitive to your surroundings, and it's okay. And there's so many things that you can do to like kind of protect, you know, step back and have awareness like, okay, I'm feeling this way right now. And this is why I'm feeling this way right now. And self-care, if you need to take 5 minutes to yourself, you know, I step out of the restaurant. I go through the door. I walk out one door, get some fresh air and walk through another. And that's my way of kind of disconnecting from the restaurant and everything that's going on in it, taking a breath, letting it all go and being able to come back into the environment, you know.
So if you're ever waiting on someone, if any of you see Liz walk out the building, she's not leaving you. She's taking a cleansing breath.
I'm not abandoning you. I am taking a cleansing breath. You know, just kind of getting out of that energy for a few minutes. And it's really important to do. And being an empath personally myself, there's also, you know, I kind of, that introvert, that person that needs to be, you know, at home and, you know, out of the limelight and, you know, everything. Then there's this extrovert who wants to be in the limelight and wants to be involved in everything. I'm kind of I'm in between. So I have some days where I want to get out there and I want to hang out with my friends and I want to listen to music and stuff like that. But there are days where I'm just like, okay, I have Saturday off. I have to take the whole entire day to just decompress and go to the spa like I did yesterday. It was amazing. Olympus Spa. just be in my bathtub for an hour. Sit around on the couch and watch something ridiculous and eat good food and just take the time, be with my children if they happen to be home on that day that I have off, and just do nothing because you need to recharge. And I know I definitely have to recharge sometimes.
Do you find that a lot of healers or people that you've had on the show or people that you talk to in your work are empaths?
Yes.
Are introverts but have learned how to live in an extroverted world?
Degrees, yes and no. So, gosh, so many passionate people that I've interviewed 2019 really brought their heart and vulnerability to the show, which I am super grateful for. Some introverts, some extrovert, everybody's sensitive. You know, there's always that varying degree of everything, right? So you have a piano player, right? And there's a piano player like me who can play Twinkle Twinkle Little Star and not too much past that. Then you have, you know, Bach and Beethoven and, you know, and everything in between. So all of those senses, which I think are really important to work on, by the way, because they really help us in our day-to-day life, especially me. And kind of got distracted by what I was
saying.
Oh,
that's okay. So when you say it's important to work on, like, let's talk to people who are listening and they say, oh, wow, I think maybe I'm more of an empath. Like, I also want to shut the door and be quiet. And that's sort of how I fill up. And so for those of us who need to recharge and who want to work on flexing those muscles, how do you do that?
Gosh, well, you can come to a person like me and work with me, and I can teach you all about what an empath is. I can teach you all of the extrasensory gifts that go beyond our five senses, that involve our five senses, but open them up a little bit more. Clairaudience, which is clear hearing. Clairsentience, which is clear feeling. Clairvoyance, which is clear seeing. Claircognizance, which is just clear knowing. And there's even clairgustance, which is taste and smell. You know, when you walk, I remember going to retreat and all of a sudden I smell cigarette smoke and, you know, a person at the retreat is like, oh, my dad used to smoke, you know,
because, wow. You know,
so
I didn't know that existed.
Whoa,
that's a cool one.
My ex used to joke that I knew what they were cooking across the street before they even started.
So, wow.
Which is kind of fun.
And do you believe that people, that everyone can grow in those areas?
Because
I think there is a misunderstanding that mm-hmm. either you're, let's put you in the woo-woo category. Uh-huh. You're a psychic, you're a seer, you do all that weird, you know, mm-hmm. stuff that I'm yeah. not, and then there's me. I'm not really. But you seem to think that everybody can open.
We
depending
all
on their,
have these yeah. senses. It's just training them. Mm. I think that long, 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 long time ago that these things were taught. We were taught to trust our gut and our intuition because we had to, mm-hmm. because we were in constant survival mode, basically. But I think that those things, as you know, we became who we are today as a society, we didn't need those things anymore. So they weren't taught as much as they were back then. And I really think that we're coming into a space and time right now where people are starting to teach these things again. Mm. And I think that that's an important thing to do. And I love to help people, you know, learn about their gifts. And they're not really gifts. They're something everybody has,
right.
you know, and it's yeah. developing those things.
Mm-hmm. Now, you go on a lot of retreats,
I do.
Seminars, mm-hmm. personal growth, you know, so many times we've talked, you're like, well, I can't come because I'm going to be in California yeah. learning from up, 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 up. And it seems like you are
learning.
Very invested in your own spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me maybe just something
Gosh,
that you've
forever,
learned this
I adore
year
it.
that changed you that you didn't know?
Oh, boy.
Someone that
something
you worked with this
I
year? I'm sure there's a lot.
This year that changed me. Gosh, it has been such a healing journey the last couple mm-hmm. years. I really can't pinpoint just one thing. Gosh, my voice. Over the last couple of years, I have been stepping into my voice. Mm-hmm. You know, I was there as a stay-at-home mom, supporting everybody, yep. raising everyone, supporting everyone else's dream, and kind of putting myself on the back burner and not really having a voice in my life, in my relationships, even in my friend mm-hmm. relationships, and really stepping into myself and finding this empowered person who can step out of that introvert self and step more, you know, into that extroverted side of myself a little bit more and say, you know, hey, I like going out and listening to music. Hey, I like doing this. Yeah. Hey, that's not okay. Or, you know, hey, I want to do this thing. Or, hey, I want to step bravely in, you know, to this idea that I have and create this radio show or create
right.
my expo, which I have, you know, coming up soon. So really stepping more fully into myself. And I've had so many beautiful people on my healing
yeah,
team.
Yeah, let's talk about
not
that.
Not only my friends, you know, but my healing team. And guys, it is so important to have a healing team. And this is why, mm-hmm. one of the reasons why I did this show is so you can see who's in our community mm-hmm. that can be part of your healing team, because you do not have to do this alone. It is so hard doing it alone. Mm-hmm. And there are so many beautiful people. We have shamans and psychotherapists and Reiki masters and Ayurveda and everything that, you know, when you're feeling low and you're going through something difficult, you can tap into these people mm-hmm. and they are just have that thing that you need in that moment. And over the last couple years, I think, you know, the universe, I have had those things that I needed in the moment mm-hmm. to be able to get me through that day
mm-hmm.
When I was feeling really low, or show me that there's a tomorrow, or that this is not going to last forever. And this too shall pass.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And let's talk a little bit about the people that you've had on your show. I had this mm-hmm. great idea. I was like, Liz, write down every person that's been on your show. And you're like, that would take a whole show. There's no
so
way.
So many awesome people.
But how do you choose the people that come on the show? And can you talk a little bit about maybe rather than something from each show, which mm-hmm. would take an entire show, but
yeah.
what's a commonality that you find with everyone that you have on? What's the sort of golden thread with this
golden
show?
Golden thread is heart. Is vulnerability, is wanting to go out there and make a difference, is wanting to be there for people, is to take what they have learned in their life and their pain and their struggle and turned it into something, their purpose and their passion, and to be able to be there for other people
mm-hmm.
is the common thread. Lots of intuition, lots of big heart, lots of service work. Gosh, beautiful, beautiful people.
Yeah.
If you haven't gone back and listened to any of the ones, you know, guys out there that you've missed, I highly recommend. We have a lot of really beautiful people in the community and a couple off Islanders, you know, that mm-hmm. I interviewed towards the end of the year who are also beautiful.
And you have this Raise the Vibe Expo coming up where you asked everyone that's been mm-hmm. on your show, and all but two
all
said
but
yes
two
they would do
yes.
it, which I have to tell yep. you, I think speaks a lot about you, Liz, because there is
a lot
going on this island that people have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And no doubt the people who have done your show are very busy and have very busy lives.
Yes.
I have said yes to a total of three things on this island in the past 3 years. And that is not because I'm in any, you know, I'm as busy as everyone else is busy. But when you ask, I will always say yes, because
thank you so much, Ari. I love
respect
you.
And love you so much. And I mean, always say yes, unless my child is ill or I'm at the Olympus Spa.
Yes.
Right. Getting a massage. But other than that, I will say yes. But you really have collected this incredible group of people who not only do their work, but respect and appreciate you. And so I would say that
thank you.
If you are not coming to this expo, please consider coming, because what you'll see is a collection of really present people who are showing up for their work. And that work is different for every person. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
And can you talk
person.
About what that's going to be like and recap when it is and who's going to be there and what's going to happen?
January 18th, I am super excited to be putting this on. Totally had the idea driving down the road, you know, in the summer with my kids, and it popped poof into my head. And I'm like, oh, how do I do that? What do I call it? You know, and I was able to pull it together and get it going and checked out different places on the island and narrowed it down to Vashon United Methodist Church. Mm-hmm. So that's where it's going to be. It's close. It's in town. So, you know, we can walk around and stroll and, you know, drift in when the speakers that we want to see are speaking. I'll have that lineup and that schedule, you know, by the first week of the year when I get back from California, hopefully. And God, I'm super excited. There are so many beautiful islanders that are going to be presenting and having a table there so you can speak with them. You can see what they're doing. You can buy their books. You can buy a CD. You can hear them talk about, you know, their passion and purpose and what they can bring to you. Maybe even I think a couple of people are going to lead a couple fun things during the expo. So that'll be a nice experience for you to experience. And definitely worth sticking around all day.
Yeah. And each person's going to be doing a little short set of speaking so that you can get to know who they are and what they mm-hmm. do and hear a little bit about their heart.
Yes.
I know I'm going to be leading a Find Your Voice moment where we're all going to sing together just for a few minutes together for anyone who...
And you do that on island. You had your first one not
too
long ago.
I did one not too long ago, and I'm hoping... to do sort of a more of a series as the new year is starting. But
awesome. As
you know, one of mm-hmm. my very favorite things is helping women find their voice, because like you say, everyone can grow in their intuition. Everyone
and
has a voice.
You were part of that journey for me.
Yeah, everyone has so a voice much. And can use it. So that's coming up. And what's the date of that?
The date is January 18th. It's going to be from noon to 5 at Vashon United Methodist Church. You can get your tickets on brown paper tickets or at the door. It's $10. Yeah.
Great.
And I'm also going to have food. So we'll have the Syrian Grill there from
noon
to 3. So you don't have to leave if you get
That's
hungry
great.
Or thirsty.
You just socialize
you know,
all day.
Refreshments right there.
If you're an empath, you can leave the building, mm-hmm. walk around
outside, come back and you go across the street, get some fresh air, come back in, see the next person. But so many people that you're definitely going to want on your healing team, for
That's
sure.
Great.
Yeah,
that's awesome. And thank you for creating another opportunity for islanders to come together and get to know each other.
Thanks,
I went
my
to
pleasure.
The little Women Hold the Key. They had that meeting the other day with all the tables.
Oh, you got to go.
I just stopped by with
awesome.
Amanda. I had a few minutes and it was so wonderful just for a minute. And I know they're doing a lot of great work on the island too.
Like, yeah, Tina's awesome. She was my last interview.
Oh, that's so
of
great.
The year.
I'm
yeah,
excited.
She's going to be at the expo too.
I'm excited about that. And just an opportunity to be in a room with so many women and so many people that are showing up to raise the vibe, to raise the vibration.
And that was a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
pulling
great.
Women together for support, you know, and it's really all about support.
Yeah.
Which is what I want to bring to people too. Yeah. You know, come and see who can support you at the expo.
That's great.
You know, and it's a great thing to do. It's January. We're all setting our intentions for the year.
Mm-hmm.
And what the perfect, you know, time to think about, you know, your personal health and healing mm-hmm. and, you know, who's in our community to be able to help you with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how much time do we have left? I have a couple more questions
for you. We have
6 minutes.
Okay. 5 minutes.
So here you are. You are a co-parenting. I won't say single mom. You're a part-time single mom, co-parenting, raising teenage boys. You are one of the most truly, you know, you embody the feminine energy more than many women that I know, and you are charged with raising three boys.
Yes.
A lot of male energy that you maneuver in
navigate.
Your house with these navigate with these wonderful humans who happen to be men. If you and you know, you're a working mom, waiting tables, making it work, living on an island that wasn't initially your choice, piecing it together, doing a show, shining the flashlight on other people. You know, this is your life moment. If you could go back to yourself when you were 20 with all of your dreams about what you thought life would be.
Wow.
What would you tell yourself then? If you knew that you would listen, what would you tell your 20-year-old self?
Everything is going to be okay. You got this. Be brave. Have a voice. Everything's going to turn out because you are co-creating with the universe. And even when it gets bad, it's teaching you something. There's a lesson there. There's growth. It's going to change you and it's going to be okay. Yeah.
And would you tell yourself today? The same things?
The same thing.
Yeah.
Like every time something comes up, it's going to be okay. You know, this is just a step on the journey and it's teaching me something and it's personal growth. And that personal growth never ends. It's not, there's no end point, you know, to anything. You know, I tell my clients, you know, when they come into the office, you know, this is just the little blip, you know, in this chapter of your life. And there's the last chapter. You know, but there's not an end point to our personal growth, to our self-development, to figuring out who we are and growing. Every decade is different. I am today, during this recording, stepping into my 50th. It is my birthday.
Yes. Happy birthday. 50 years old today. What?
When this airs, you know. Today is the 27th. We're in the studio recording, and this will air on the 7th, my first show of the year.
Wow.
You know.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. So
Happy
the beginning of
old.
My 50th decade.
Wow.
And, you know, it doesn't stop. It's always something new. And we're always growing, changing, maturing, emotionally maturing, learning new ways and to be and with ourselves and with our family and, you know, working through those hiccups and those old wounds. And God, it's life is a spiral. You know, and you think you're done with one thing and it spirals back around again, you know, and gives you another little nudge. Hey, you know, but there's this part of it that you need to work on, you know, and that's just how life is. And it's, you know, getting, you know, going through those things gracefully and having the people in our lives, you know, when we have those hiccups and we can't do it on our own, that we don't have to be alone and we can pull those people in to be able to help us.
Yeah. I remember a friend of mine going through a super tough time and she said, you know, people have this idea of spiritual growth. Like, spiritual growth, you know, it's nice. You know, it's like the woo-woo guy on the internet with the flower in his head, like grow spiritually. But growth is actually the ugliest, messiest, worst, nastiest, grossest mud-slinging time. There's nothing pretty about it. What would you say?
Yeah, in it to win it.
And, what would you say if there's a woman, we've talked a lot about women, or a gentle, lovely man out there who's going through... they're burning downtime. I think about you having a physical fire when you moved to the island right before it all burned down. What would you say to someone who's right at the beginning of maybe their long night before the sun comes back?
Oh boy.
What would you say?
Wow. What would I say? There's, a lot and
A lot in a minute and a half.
Yeah. A lot in a minute. What I said before, that you're in it right now. You feel like, you know, maybe your life is over and it's never going to be the same, but your life is actually going to change. And it's actually a good thing that it's not the same because it's going to be better. Almost all the time when you step out of it, it's better. Yeah, that it's going to be different, but it's going to be different in a good way. And you're going to have a new you and you're going to have more strength. And I think that's what we get from all this adversity is more personal strength.
Yep. I was on the ferry when I was in that time and I was crying so hard. I had my head on the steering wheel. I was weeping. And this woman ran up to my car and put a note through my window. And I was like, oh, no, no, no. I was embarrassed that I had been crying. And I thought maybe my taillights were on or something. And I looked at the note and it said, "You are beautiful. It will get better."
Oh my God, I love that.
And that was right when I first moved to Vashon. Thank you, person on the ferry.
That is what needs to happen. That's it. Little ripples. That we can give each other.
And I think, Liz, that's what this show is you saying to Vashon, you are beautiful. It will get better. Here is a team of people to help you do that. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, Ara. Thank you, Liz. We are out of time. Gosh, it went so fast.
Happy birthday, lady.
Thank you, Ara. I love you. And thank you, everybody, for joining us. This is Voice of Vashon, 101.9 FM KVSH. I'm your host, Liz Peterson of Raise the Vibe. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you for joining me.